I hope you find the message today to be spiritually uplifting and to fill you throughout the week. May God bless you as you listen to His Word.
Your reading today is Matthew 25, 14 through 30. For it is as if a man, going on a journey, summoned his slaves and entrusted to them his property to them. To one he gave 5 talents. A talent was worth more than 15 years' wages of a laborer, to another 2, to another 1, each according to his ability. Then he went away. The one who had received the 5 talents went off at once and traded with them and made 5 more talents. In the same way, the one who had 2 talents made 2 more talents. But the one who had received the 1 talent went off and dug a hole in the ground and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those slaves came and settled accounts with them. The one who had received 5 talents came forward, bringing 5 more talents, saying, "Master, you handed me over 5 talents. See, I have made 5 more talents. His master said to him, "Well done, good and trustworthy slave. You have been trustworthy in few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master." And the one with 2 talents also came forward, saying, "Master, you handed me over 2 talents. See, I have made 2 more talents. His master said to him, "Well done, good and trustworthy slave. You have been trustworthy in few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master." Then the one who had received the 1 talent also came forward. "Master, I knew you were a harsh man, reaping where you did not sow, gathering where you did not scatter seed. So I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here, have what is yours." But his master replied, "You wicked and lazy slave. You knew, did you, that I reap where I did not sow, gather where I did not scatter? Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and my return I would have received what was my own with interest. So take that talent from him and give it to the one with 10 talents. For to all those who have, more will be given, and they will have an abundance. But for those who have nothing, even what they have will be taken away. As for this worthless slave, throw him into the outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word.
Thank you, Troy. When you were a child, did your parents ever entrust you with anything? They ever give you something and say, "Here, take care of this"? And if so, did you? I just turned 16, got my driver's license, went to my dad, wanted to go out one night, and I said, "Dad, can I use the car?" Now, you need to know that was a Chevy station wagon. It's what we had. So he threw me the key. He entrusted me with the car at 16. I got in the car and I went over and I picked up 2 of my friends. And the reason I picked them up is so we could drive around and drive by the houses of other friends and say, "Look, we got wheels." Yeah, 16 years old, that's what you do, right? You let everybody know that you can drive. We're going down the road and we're having a good time until finally we're going down a road and I look up and here's a school ground. Now you can see the fence, you can see the playground. It's an elementary school. This is at night, so there was no one out there. Me and my friends are waving at people going down the road, and suddenly that station wagon took off. It did. The accelerator went to the floor. I had both hands on the steering wheel, both feet on the brakes, and it wouldn't stop. It kept going. Finally, one of my friends reached over and turned the key off just as we got to the curb to go up into the playground. So we never hit the playground, thank goodness. Walked over, this was pre-cell phones. I know y'all didn't think I was that old, but I actually was around before cell phones. We went to someone's house. I called my dad and I said, "Dad, there's something wrong with the car. I don't know what happened." I just knew he'd never let me drive again. After all, he entrusted me with the family car. He came, he looked, got a tow truck, took it to the shop. Next day, what we found is it was a faulty motor mount, and it broke. And when it broke, the engine shifted, slammed the accelerator to the floor. I can tell you, me and my two friends were close to having to change clothes. It was that scary. We didn't know what was going on. It was scary. But here's what was scarier, folks. I thought I'd let my dad down. I thought he trusted me. I've messed up. He'll never trust me again. This had to happen on my watch. Why? But my dad set me down and he said, it wasn't your fault. It was a faulty motor mount. Well, that was good news. Just as a note, 2 months later, I was driving it, the same thing happened. They took it back and they said, it's another faulty motor mount, and Chevy came out with a new one and said, this one won't break. But nevertheless, it was a scary time, not so much because I could have died. Honestly, as a teen, I didn't think of that. I thought about retribution and all kinds of things happening from my dad because he trusted me. And honestly, I thought I was a very talented driver. At 16, I was really good. I was amazing. So I'm thinking, I have this great talent. I messed up this car. What do I do now? And now, when I think about it, I want you to think about changing a little bit of what you're hearing in this scripture from talent, as in money. Okay? We know back in the day, back in Jesus' time, a talent represented gold and silver. It could be any denomination, just as our money was, is, hopefully, will continue to be. So take that talent and look at Jesus and think about Jesus and what he's really saying and how he's saying that each one of us has talent, and some of us bury it. There is not one person in this congregation that doesn't have talent. You may only have one. You may have five or six. Who knows? But you've got talent. And God expects us to take that talent and use it for the kingdom of God. Three things I know for sure about each and every one of you. You are a person of worth. That's a fact. You are a person with talent. That goes along with the saying, God doesn't make junk, right? You have talent, and you're a child of God. Now, that's quite a combination. You got all three of those going for you. And Jesus is saying, take that talent and use it. Use it to further the kingdom. Well, we can go back and look at what's going on here, and we can see that he gave five to one of the slaves, and the master gets five in return. He used that talent. Then two, he doubled again. Used the talent. But when he gave it to the one buried it. And it's like the people who get God's talent and say, no, I'm not venturing out. What if I mess up? What if I don't do it right? What if people don't appreciate my talent? I'm going to take it and I'm going to bury that talent. And then God looks and says, what have you done? I gave you talent or talents. Why didn't you use them? Please pay attention to these words in our scripture. For it is as if a man going on a journey summoned his slaves and entrusted his property to them. To one he gave five talents, to another two, to another one, to each according to his ability. Sound like money to you? No. Jesus is teaching a lesson about talent. According to your ability, use your abilities. Be a disciple. Don't talk about being a disciple. Don't say I'm a follower and then not follow. Take the talent, your God-given talent, and use it to further the kingdom. Now let us take this literally. To each according to his ability. What is your ability? Do you believe you don't have one? Because if you do, does that say about your relationship with God? that God would actually create someone and not give them an ability and not give them a talent? Not our God, not on our watch. That's not going to happen. I don't know if you ever heard of this story, but it's something to think about. One of the greatest sculptors of all time was Bertoldo di Giovanni. Now, we don't hear that very often, but let me tell you about Giovanni. Giovanni was trained by Donatello. Donatello was the greatest sculptor of his time. But you know who Giovanni taught? Michelangelo, who's considered the greatest sculptor ever. That's who he taught. But here's what happened. Bertoldo Giovanni has this 14-year-old, Michelangelo, who came to him. And that 14-year-old had the greatest talent that Giovanni had ever seen. And so he comes in one day having given Michelangelo an assignment. And when he walked in, Michelangelo was just playing around. Wasn't really trying. So Giovanni picks up a hammer, stomps across the room, walks up to the sculpture that Michelangelo's working on and crushes it, tears it to pieces. And he looks at Michelangelo and he says, "This is below your talent." Is that not what Jesus says to that last slave? "This is below your talent. I gave you something and you did nothing with it." Why? What makes us not want to try? If we each have talent, but we are not dedicated to using it, big word, dedication. If we're not dedicated to using that talent, what's going to happen? Nothing. We're just going to play around. "Oh, I can sing. I'll sit around the house and sing. I'll sing as I go down the sidewalk. But Beth may call and ask me to join the choir." "Well, I don't want to do that. I mean, I don't really feel that confident in my talent." But if God gives you a talent, I hope you have confidence in that. Because that is exactly what Jesus says about these slaves. They had the confidence, the first two, to go out and take 5 and get 10, to take 2 and get 4. But that last one didn't use the talent. How many fathers have watched their child play a sport, male or female, and when the game was over said, "You didn't even try"? Why weren't you trying? You need to put out more effort. It's what Jesus is saying. Why aren't you trying? God has given you these wonderful things. Why aren't you trying? Now, most of you know, many of you know, that I played ice hockey. I was very lucky because I got drafted by the Detroit Red Wings. And I actually got to play in Detroit. And I can't tell you how scary that was, but I did. But I went to Ontario every year for years to train. And my instructor in Ontario was Pat Quinn. For those of you who don't follow the NHL, Pat Quinn was the head coach of the Toronto Maple Leafs for 8 years. But he had played for him about 15 years before he became the coach. I'll tell you something else about Pat Quinn. He was about 6'7". He's a big man. He took us out on the ice. He was teaching us. We were getting ready for an all-star game, and only a few would be selected. But in that group, there were some very, very gifted hockey players. They didn't even have to try, and they could play good. Right? So Pat Quinn calls us all around after several sessions out on the ice of working us, and he looks at us, and he says, "I'm going to tell you something. That some of you out here have some of the greatest talent I've ever seen. You're a natural. You can skate, you can shoot, you can chew gum at the same time. You can do it all. But you don't try. You're so comfortable with your talent that you're not putting out any effort. You just figure I'll just skate through and be a prima donna." That's what he said. And he said, "So let me tell you, we have an all-star game coming up, and here's what's going to happen. You have a player who puts out effort but doesn't have the talent, and you have the player with the talent who doesn't put out the effort, I'm going to go with the guy who tries every time. Because that's what I want. I want somebody who's going to use what talent they have, even though it may not be as much as the other person. At least they put out the effort. Jesus says these slaves could have done so much, and two of them did. One of them didn't use their talent, buried it. Are you burying your talent? Have you been called on by Jack or anyone else in the church to do something and buried the talent and said, no, not me. I'm not sure I can do that. Or I may not do that well. It was an interesting thing to be around someone who was so well known as Pat Quinn and find out that he valued effort over talent, extreme talent. I would have thought, and I did when I went out on the ice, being from Texas, I said, I'll never make it. Because these guys have been skating their whole lives. They're better than me. But I was on the team. I made All-Stars, and I got to play. But folks, it wasn't easy. I'll tell you something else I did. Growing up in Fort Worth and playing ice hockey, I know, you're thinking, how do you bring those two together? I went out on the back patio, cement. My brother went out, got a puck. He knew how to shoot a puck. I had made a net just like the one that they use in hockey games. I was a goalie, and I stood in front, and he shot at me all day and all night, and he loved every minute of it. But by golly, I learned to stop that puck. I could stop it in almost any position. Sometimes I was flat on my back, and I could still raise a leg and stop it. But that's what it took, was effort. And I knew I wouldn't make it without the effort. Jesus says, without the effort, you're not going to make it. You've got to wonder, is that what God says to us? If I have to choose between those who have very little talent and those who have great talent, I'm going to go with the ones who put out the effort, the ones who try. I don't have the organization skills of an Elaine Hamilton. She's amazing. She writes books of stuff, and this is how you do it. I don't have that skill. I don't have the skill to be a judge or an attorney. I'd probably get crushed. I look at people out here and I think of all the talent that you have out there. I don't have all that talent, but I pray to God what talent I do have I use. I don't want to bury it. And that's my fear, is that I'm going to bury a God-given talent. So whatever that may be, that's what I'm going to do, is I may have one talent, but that one talent is going to go to the glory of God. It doesn't have that much to do with I'm going to just use talent as much as it has I'm going to put out the effort. The person with great talent is apt to be puffed up, and the person with little usually belittles themselves. And God says, don't belittle what I've given you. Use it or lose it. That's how it works. Our part is to be faithful in using the talent God has given us. That's our story. That's what it says in our scripture. Now, some of you have told me that you had Fred Craddock here one time, and Fred Craddock had come to seminary when I was in seminary and spoke, and I'm going to share a story with you I think is so important. And maybe when old Fred came, he might have shared this story with you. Great man, great stories. But he said, to give my life for Christ appears glorious, to pour myself out for others, to pay the ultimate price of martyrdom. I'll do it. I'm ready, Lord, to go out in a blaze of glory. But then he says, we think giving our all to the Lord is like taking a $1,000 bill and laying it in front of God and saying, I'm giving you everything. He says, that's not the way it works. What God does when you lay that $1,000 bill in front of him, it says you go to the bank and you get rolls of quarters. And then you go through life handing out quarters. It's not like you just hand it all over. Being in ministry, being a child of God, is giving your all throughout your life. So, usually giving our life to Christ isn't glorious. It's done in all those little acts of love, 25 cents at a time. It would be easy to go out in a flash of glory. It's harder to live the Christian life little by little over the long haul. It's harder. But that's what is required of us. Don't just hand someone a $1,000 bill. Hand out quarters. The question this scripture brings to mind, the question that we must ask ourselves every day is, are you using your talent? Are you using your talent? When asked to serve your faith community, your church and all these different causes, do you say, I don't have much talent, but yes, I'll use what I have? Or do you say, no, I'm going to bury my talent. Then I don't have to worry. You know, if I try to invest and it doesn't work, I'll be disappointed. But if I just bury that talent, I still have that talent. Just don't use it. Remember, for to all those who have, more will be given, and they will have an abundance. But from those who have nothing, even what they have will be taken away. Comes straight out of our scripture. So what is the summary of all this? Use it or lose it. God has given every single one of us a talent. Whether you want it or not, you got it. The question from this day forward is, are you going to use it? Or are you going to bury it? Where are you with your God-given talent? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks and praise that you have given us each talent. We ask that you help us to remember that we do have that talent and that we will use that talent to glorify you. And Lord, as we go forth from this place, we will be sharing in a Thanksgiving meal, and we give you thanks. We ask that you bless that food to the nourishment of our bodies, that we may be filled with your Spirit, that we may do your work. And Lord, we give you thanks for this church, for this congregation, for the leadership, and for the opportunity to use the talent you have given us. Be with us, guide us, and help us, for we ask this in your Son's holy name. Amen.
We're glad that you joined us today for this special message, and we pray that you will join us again next week as God's Word is brought to you.